I couldn't bear to wait until next Thursday afternoon before getting 2022 Plan B going. So I asked, and thank goodness she said yes to Rebecca Davis for a Plan B right now. Good morning, Rebecca Davis.
Good morning, John Matham.
I know somebody who follows Haji, your wife, on Instagram, and I am told that you obviously had the most wonderful holiday.
Oh, that's good. But the main thing is, John, that today my son's nursery reopens. And to any parents in the same beautiful boat today, cheers, bottoms up. We did it.
Because something else I was told was that it is very, very obvious from these photographs which appeared on Instagram that Miles is much loved by the two of you. And with what you've just said, only up to a point.
I mean, I think all parental love is up to a point. Don't believe what they tell you, John.
Okay. You spotted some graffiti walking along the promenade.
So I was walking along the prom yesterday with my editor, and there was some new chalk graffiti all the way along, and it said things like, you know, vaccines don't work, masks don't work, the earth is flat, et cetera, et cetera. I admit I was a bit surprised by the earth is flat one, but it confirmed what we already know, John, which is that the pandemic has caused internationally this kind of explosion of conspiracy theories and conspiratorial thinking. And you know, there's some good reasons for that. One being that people had a lot more time on their hands during lockdown in particular, so they were staying inside and sort of Googling more than they would. And that in a time of general uncertainty, people tend to sort of turn to odd sources for some kind of help or comfort. And that also in these times of uncertainty, institutional knowledge becomes kind of doubted in many fundamental ways. And these are all good reasons why people turn to conspiracy theories, as unfortunate as it might be, and we're certainly no exception to that. And, you know, we in the media, etc., might bemoan this and say, oh, you know, who can actually believe that the earth is flat, etc. Although I was thinking that if you had to hold a gun to my head, John, and tell me I have to sign up to any crackpot conspiracy theory, I think I might choose flat earth just because it seems like a sort of victimless thought crime, if you know what I mean, and also because it's so dumb that it seems harmless. Be that as it may, it is difficult in these weird times in South Africa, even for reasonable people, I think, to avoid conspiratorial thinking. I mean, this is very much my experience last week when I came back to work as a journalist in the first week of the year. And we were confronted with two disparate, seemingly disparate events happening within days of each other. The first being the Parliament fire, obviously, and the second being the strange attack on the Constitutional Court. And this is the thing I find about South Africa, John, and I'm sure you know what I mean. It's that events are often so wild that there can be two equally plausible explanations for pretty much everything that happens. And the first is that people are poor and desperate and systems don't work and there's a lot of incompetence and neglect. And the second is that there are kind of evil political saboteurs seeking to make the country ungovernable. Both those things can be true at once. And that makes it really difficult when things like the Parliament fire and the Concord attack happen to resist drawing the implication that they must be linked. And that's certainly what I felt. I felt, you know, how stupid do you think we are? These attacks on important infrastructure, national key points. Obviously, this is part of what is going to be a year of complete ungovernability in the country leading up to the ANC national conference at the end of the year, et cetera, et cetera. And then I spoke to a senior source at the city of Cape Town, a very senior source, who told me that having been to Parliament, having looked at everything shortly after the fire and the report, he was absolutely satisfied that the fire was the result of an electrical fault, that there was nothing more to it. And this is a person who, as a representative of the DA government, I think would have every incentive to say that there was some elements of sabotage relating to ANC factional battles. He didn't. He said, Occam's razor, electrical fire. And then we heard that the Constitutional Court attack was most probably carried out by a man who had a labor dispute. His family had a family member who had been let go from the Concord. And indeed, it did seem, John, as incredible as that might be on paper, that these two events were indeed completely unconnected, and that they might well be completely unconnected to any underlying political sabotage whatsoever. Now, in any other country, you might say that beggars belief. But here it can be true. So my question, John, and it's a serious one, is how do we as reasonable people, those who consider ourselves reasonable, rational people, how do we inoculate ourselves against conspiratorial thinking in a time where often you do need people to look deeper and connect dots between events? Because that's the only reason we know about state capture, for instance. If you had told one of us in, 2013, that within a few years, a single family would have taken control of every state-owned enterprise in the country, we would have said you too were a flat earther, you were a crazy person. But it happened. So the difficulty in this wild and wonderful and crazy and beautiful country of ours is knowing when to look deeper and when to simply accept surface explanations. And this is a long way of saying perhaps that we shouldn't be too harsh to those who seek conspiratorial explanations for things like, you know, COVID and the rest of it, reptiles and the queen being a lizard and the rest of it, because how far off that thinking are any of us really?
And you are noticing potentially worrying relaxations of COVID awareness.
No, they're not worrying per se, John. It's just that I noticed that as COVID appears, fingers crossed, to be on the wane in South Africa, there is a kind of noticeable, kind of loosening, a freeing of spirits, and
yeah,
I see it
definitely.
All around me.
Yeah.
But John, I would just like to say, shouldn't we as a people vow that this is an opportunity for us to turn the page on our once disgusting ways? And I'm talking in particular of birthday candles and makeup testers. Now, we didn't know any better back in the glorious days when none of us had yet had our nasal cavities violently probed with an earbud. We didn't know any better. And that's fine, John. We're not to be blamed. But now we do know better. Now we all know everything about epidemiology and the way disease travels, etc. And we also know about droplets, John. Terrible word, but one that we must keep in our minds at all times. Droplets. When you blow out birthday candles on a cake, what is happening is that the droplets are being ejected from your mouth onto the surface of the cake, which you are then serving to everyone present. I mean, now that we've had this kind of fall from the Garden of Eden, we know about germ things now, John. We can't keep doing that, can we? And makeup testers. I mean, when you think about this in our pre-pandemic era, it blows your mind that people used to go into a shop, take a lipstick off the shelf that somebody else had just smeared their mouth with and use it on their own lips. I mean, it honestly begs me. My question is, we have a chance as a society to turn the page on this reckless and arguably revolting behavior. Will we take that chance, John?
Always when I bought makeup, Rebecca, I refused to use the makeup tester. I simply looked at the color and researched the texture, see what people were saying about it on social media.
You must tell me more about lipstick.
You want a velvety, silken texture to your lipstick, Rebecca. You do not want something which is chalky or waxy. So I always did that bit of research, and then I chose the color. And the final part of the conversation this morning, thank you. Thank you for doing all this work for me. Thank you for being my trend pointer outer. And the latest trend that we need to know about in male grooming is something called male paint. Do tell.
Well, judging by what you've just said to me about your intimate familiarity with makeup, I'm sure I don't need to tell you this, John, but the truth of the matter is that male nail polish, male paint, or male polish, I suppose you could call it, is very much on the rise. John, this strikes me. I mean, I know I sometimes tell you about grooming and fashion trends, and I can tell it leaves you cold. But this, I think, is one you could really get into. Are you, or have you ever been a nail polish aficionado?
I have worn nail polish on my toes.
Right.
And I have been weed on as a result.
I'd love you to connect those dots for me.
I was standing at a public urinal, as we men do, and the person came and stood at the urinal next to me, and he glanced down and he saw that my toes were painted a kind of lovely aquamarine, and he was so startled that he directed his stream on me.
I'm so sorry, but that is quite funny, John. All right. Well, perhaps there's a lesson in that as well. If you are a man wearing nail polish on your toes. Maybe don't wear open shoes in urinals. Men's nail art, John, is now very much, they call it, in fact, de rigueur in celebrity circles. We are seeing Post Malone, A$AP Rocky, Pete Davidson, Bad Bunny. I know you know all these people, John. They are all adopting the trend. And now your regular salons on the street are saying men are flocking, at least in countries like America and the UK, men are flocking into salons to get nail varnish done. Black, natural, but not just dark shades as well. Harry Styles, he of One Direction, has a nail varnish line out, which includes pink. You could get it done in a lovely granny pink, etc. It seems that men are finally returning to what they used to do actually thousands of years ago. Babylonian warriors, John, painted their nails before battle to intimidate their enemies. So if anyone were to tell you that while wearing nail polish that you were in some way less manly or effete in some way, you should say, well, if you were somebody coming across a Babylonian warrior, you would quiver in your boots when you saw this nail polish because it would be a sign that you were basically about to die. That is how hardcore men's nail varnish is.
One last final story. When I talked about nail polish at the time that I was wearing, and we discussed it on the radio, and someone, I think his name was Etienne, called me and said that he has a habit of wearing black nail polish on his toes. And we said, what are you doing, Etienne? He says, no, it's a very effective shark repellent. And I go, oh, must try it. There will be another Plan B with Rebecca Davis next Thursday afternoon.